When did you join up?
Pardon?
When did you join up?
When? July 1915.
Right. And you, how old were you?
I had Victoria Barrett.
How old were you?
That's got me tricked. I could have been 21. Because I've got no family out here, you see. Mm. I was on my own.
Right.
And, of course, I joined up and went to Liverpool.
When had you come out here?
I came out here in 1911.
Right.
I was 16 or 17. And if you want to know who brought me out here, I don't know whether you've heard of them, the Millionaires Club.
Oh, yeah.
They brought me out.
Had your family been happy about you coming out here?
Pardon?
Had your family been happy about you coming out?
Well, my family never come out here.
No. But did they mind you coming out by yourself?
Oh, no. See, of course, the trouble of no father either way. He cleared out.
Right.
And of course, I had brothers and sisters around. And I wasn't the youngest, I was the next one. He was a younger brother than me. Well, so glad to see me in 1917.
Yeah.
And what else would you?
Sorry?
What else did you want to know?
Well, why did you join up in the first place?
Why did I join up? I was working in the country, I had a good job. Pound a week.
Doing what?
So I thought to myself, the fellow that worked there, he joined up before me. His name was Ralph Minty. He was a, you know, he wasn't a real A-class man because he had a brother who worked at Grace Mothers. And his brother brought him from Canada. He thought this climate was better. And when he came here, he used to drink a pint of olive oil a week. So he had trouble in there. He must have had touch TV. But anyhow, when I got to Egypt, I asked the corporal, did you know Ralph Minty? He said he was a very sick man the last time I saw him. So he'd be out.
And you joined up because...
I joined up and we were in training and in October we went away on the Themistocles.
Yeah.
We went to Port Said and then we went up to a place called Iliopolis. There for a while and of course by that time the Australians were evacuated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we went down to Telekabir. And at Telekabir, of course, they made the 5th Division.
That's right, yeah.
That meant they didn't want to lose their black and white colours, so they put them on edge.
Mm. What? Did you get into Cairo while you were in...
I had one name there.
What did you think of that?
There were dirty places there. Dirty places there, oh. You have to be very careful. And I was more than careful, I tell you. Well, anyhow, we went down, we was down to Telekabir, and from there we went down to the canal. We were there quite a while. And I used to see a man. Every night, he'd kneel as if he sang his prayers. And I asked another, I said, what's he doing every night? He said, he's praying for the sun to rise. Oh, I said, I thought he was praying for the Lord up above. No, he's praying for the sun to rise. And then we went from there. We put in trucks. We went to Alexandria, and of course we were on the boat, but that was in March. And we sailed from Marseille, March 1916. And of course, we went by train from Marseille, right north, a 3-day in the train. And Mike used to knock around with a fellow at Whale Tribe. He said, "Do you know what, Fred? I've carried this one stripe too long. So I'm thinking of throwing it in." Anyhow, we went in the, I don't know what the name, Sully or Armatiba. And I used to go, enlisting post, no way then. And he had charges. And as he went out, of course we had our full hats. A creepy old dropping hat. He rushed out, he said, "Men on the firing steps, they don't know what they're firing at because it's dark." So anyway, we served our time there, and then we were going in for a big stunt, and that was Pozieres. Pozieres top. So we got to a place called Warner, and Jim came out, he said, "Fred," he said, "I've got my second strike." Well, I said, "I hope you live long with it." But anyhow, we went left wall and went up a line. When it supports, I'd like to see what sort of a place it was. In support, the register, you know, before we went up the line. So, we were caught. I was out in there with a bear and a dead Thomas. And I come back, I said, "Where's Jim? Oh, he's killed." That's how long we had it to his time, he was dead. Podium.
Yeah.
Anyhow, then we had, they gave us an idea what we were going to do. We went up, and they told us what the artillery was going to do. The artillery was going to send what they call a creeping barrage. They knew that the artillery would go for the library, but they only had to take the front line. But they knew that they'd go past there. So that's why they put up a creeping barrage, but it killed a lot. Because the German fire they kept there, they were killing us. We couldn't go forward. We killed around, we couldn't go back. But anyhow, we come out, just a few of us come out, Pozieres. Never forget. And of course we had other sons, pretty bad. Bully calls another one. I had a fellow there, he did pile up with me, he said, "Fred," he said, "if we get back," he said, "I'll get to the best job you've ever had." I said, "That's a promise." And the boy got killed. He didn't know what chair to get into. And then, when we came out, they said to me, "Well, how didn't you go and leave?" 10 days. That was welcome to, I tell you. And of course, you go through France, and you get to the place of the Havre, where you have to strip off and go and have a steam bath, you know, get some of the fleas off you. Anyhow, that was finished, I came back. And then there was the big stunt, Passchendaele. That was July I got leave. Passchendaele was in October. And we had a major in the in D Company, and his brother was a colonel in the 3rd Battalion and he heard that his brother was killed. Of course, that upset him. He said, I'll kill every German I see.
Sorry?
He said, I'd kill every German he met. But he didn't get a chance, he'll kill him, no, but start off, he'll kill him. And then there was another younger brother. He got badly wounded. There's three brothers, all officers. One was colonel, one was major, the other one, I don't know what he was. But he was an officer. Oh, then there's another fellow. His name was Bob Creasy. And he was a slaughter man. Worked at the slaughter yard. And do you know every German that came across, he took his bucket to him? His passion down. Because I got wounded in there, I got wounded in the head there. Come out the front. But anyway, last time for me, that meeting, he killed 10. And there was a Tommy legend on the left of us. And this Tommy officer saw him. And he said, man, he said, you're cruel. He said, it was all unarmed men. And he said, look, he said, mister, before you go any further, I get paid six mother and dad to kill them, and I'm going to kill them until they kill me. That was Bob Creasy. Well, I got wounded as I went to England. And then, of course, I came back again and I got wounded again in 19. And that was the end of it. When I got wounded in 19, the war was finished. I got wounded about September, right? And I was in England when the peace was signed. Which was nice, wasn't it? I mean, so, I was lucky to come back with all my ribs.
Yeah.
But that ruined my left eye pretty well, you know, hard to see.
Yeah. Going back to, when you left Egypt and went up in the train from Marseille.
When we left Egypt?
Yeah. And you went over the Mediterranean to Marseille in France.
Yeah.
What was that train trip like through France? Do you remember that?
Yeah, it took 3 days. And it stopped for the morning to get us some coffee. Took a bit of air to get the coffee. Oh, it was a rotten trip, so it just wooden seats, you know. Of course, you couldn't expect first class.
Did you see any people?
No.
Were the people cheering or anything?
No. But of course we had lectures in our own Egypt.
Lectures about?
Pardon?
What were these lectures in Egypt about?
Oh, about the people, civilized people in the France. You see, we only used to mix with the Arabs. I mean, those with the muscle around their face, we were warned before we got off the boat never to tear one off. Because it's clear.
Yeah.
I never attempted anything like that. When I got laid in England, did you like to know that?
Yeah.
Well, I loved the little fellow out the second battalion. He had 10 days. And the first thing we wanted was the handcuff. So we went to Oxford Road and they gave us a little cash. And of course we went along and went over Waterloo Bridge. There was a barber there, and we went right in. So the haircut, and opposite was a pub. We both went to the pub. having a drink, and the barmaid got out of my arms. She said, "Artie, whatever you do, don't stay here. You'll get cleaned up if you do." So I said, "Thanks for the information." We walked out and walked straight into TB's, police military prison. And then we came over Waterloo Bridge back. And I had, of course, we got lectures before we left Ottery Road, about saluting. And of course, I heard somebody sing out. And I looked around, we passed this officer without saluting. So I went back to it. He said, "You two fellas, where are you?" I said, "We're straight from the front line." "Well," he said, "you'll go back to the front line." I said, "Not before my 10 days come." He said, "You will," he said, "if you don't do as you're told at Offaly Road." So I kind of saluted him and cleared him well. And then I left this fella, this mate, and I went away. And of course I'm Pommy, as I told you. First place I went, I had a sister at the bow. And I went straight into the public as well for the air. But before I got the county, pointed his finger to the door. So because I didn't know, he turned and walked out. So that was that one. So I went from there to a place called Ilford. Nice hotel, big place, and I walked in for a glass of beer. A nice girl behind the counter, she said, "I can't serve you." I said, "Why can't you serve me?" She said, "I've got orders from the manager." I said, "What would happen if you did serve me?" She said, "I'd get the sack." "Oh, well," I said, "only," she said, "the bar around there, you can go." "Oh, no," I said, "I can't drink here or go out." So there'd been some troublemakers that started on. And I went to a picture show with a brother-in-law of mine. And we come out, and there were two girls, they were looking on. They were after me, you see. So I picked the one I thought. And of course, it was, you know, I took her to work where she lived, I thought. And we had walking, and then she said, "Don't come any further." I said, "Why?" "Oh," she said, "my mother saw me with you," she said, "I would get a basin." That was it. Then another night, I was with this brother in law who was going to a hotel, not a hotel, a musical place, theatre. So I went up to the gods, you know, seat. And I was sitting there, his sister come rushing up to me, "Come down, I've got three friends down." So we came down. Sit there, you know, I don't know, I don't think I'd do anything. I shouldn't do. So the show was open, we went out. The next night I was left on my own. I thought myself, we're going to see this. See, I didn't see much of it last night. So I went to pay. Fella said, "No," he said, "you can't go in there." I said, "Why?" He said, "You were here last night." I said, "That's right." "Well," he said, "there's a complaint about you." I said, "What complaints?" He said, "I'm just telling you, you can't go in. We have complaints." I said, "How did you get the plants over the phone?" passes. I'd like to know the people who made the complaints. Well, he said that's how it is. The Aussies were down.
This was in, what, 1917, was it?
That was in 1917, yeah. And of course, October 17, that's when I got the smack on the head. My old man got killed there. He got killed outright. I suppose I was lucky. In doctors advised you, that was close. I said, yes. It's only a little bit, but it was tough all right. But the other part was the worst, you know. Not often, not in and out the line. And all mud. Even snow. Oh! That was Chris.
Yeah.
Well, the oppos are bad enough, but when you go night after night and might get relieved, go out for a week or a fortnight to get reinforcements and come back. That was the worst part. Going over the top wasn't so bad. Anything else you want to know?
How did you see much of the French people?
No. Only the old farms that were left behind, you know.
Yeah.
And they always had a pot of coffee on the stove. You go buy a cup of coffee. So one old lady said, when the war finished, tomorrow, the war tomorrow. I said, you're right to be here, not
to. Yeah. Had to be right sometime.
Yeah.
And were you billeted?
Pardon?
Were you billeted in French towns?
Who?
You. Did you have any billets with the French people, or were you?
Oh no, no. Well, no, the people that were left in the fire were farmers.
What happened after you went into hospital the second time, wounded, mm-hmm. and then peace was declared?
Yeah.
What happened before you came
back? I got married in there.
Ah.
I got married in 1718. And I didn't come back, I was discharged. Came back in 21.
Right.
Should have come back before. That's messed my life up. You do feel these things, you know.
Where did you meet your wife?
Where did I meet her? Mm. In a theatre. Yeah. Back in the camp when peace was declared.
Then because you were married, did you have to stay in camp for long after peace was declared?
Oh, I had a stay at camp until I was discharged.
Right, when were you discharged? Again?
In, April 1919.
Right.
work all the time over there. Well, I've never had a lot. Yeah.
What were you doing?
First I started farming, but the farm work is too slow. So I was used to farming out here. Come in!
Hello. I've just brought your shaving thing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, there were happy moments and sad moments.
What were the happiest ones?
When you're out alive. In payday. Got a few francs. But they were funny in Egypt, you know. Because when we were on the boat, just before we got to Egypt, we got paid. And we got paid in gold.
It's all right.
I think I was solving the life of something. And of course, when we got to Egypt, the mob told us, be careful when you change it, because the Egyptian money is different. He said, there's little piastres. They call them duck asses. He said, so if you give them a sovereign or half a sovereign, you've got a handful of those. And you don't know the value of them. That was it. But I didn't know what it was. See, a piastre, five piastres to a... I'm about to say, I don't know what they call it. Forgot all about it now. It's like the franc.
Yeah.
There's a paper money. It's a... Oh, in France.
What would you do on a payday?
Oh, two up. Yes, two up with the line game. What else would that be?
Did they all go and play two up?
Pardon?
Did they all go and play two up when they got paid?
Oh, yeah. Some would go down to Saturday and have a drink. Wine, party. It was cruel. Vin Blanc was to call it. Oh, it was like vinegar. I mean, if you got full of it, you'd wake up bad the next morning. But the best I had was champagne. 5 francs a bottle. You could drink a bottle of that and not feel any effect.
What were some of the songs they sang in the...
Huh?
What were some of the songs they sang in the Estaminets?
In the where?
In the Estaminets.
Oh, that's the only one. They wanted to go home.
Yeah.
Everybody joined it. No, Santa, I didn't join one, but I said to me, what's wrong with you, Aidan? Where'd you want to go? That's where you got home. Ah, yes, you just slowly say, huh?
Did you feel that? Did you feel that? Yeah. Why did you join up in the first place?
Well, I joined up, and to my surprise, I was getting £1 a week up where I was. Good job, I had my own saddle horse. Oh, not a good job. But, I see, Ralph Minty, he went, So I followed him. And of course, when I got into Liverpool Care, after a week, they paid me 35 shillings. God bloody hell, that's worth going for. All that money and boots and clothes and everything found for you. So it was a great draw. And when you told them in the old country how much they got, where do you go to join them? Isn't there a place in England? No, until you go to Australia. You want to show up.
You went and saw your family when you got back to England.
What did I say to them?
Did you see your family when you
got
back?
Yes. Oh, yes, sort of. I didn't know what to make of it. Then I come back the second time. Then I come back the third time for a movie twice in the week. That was in 18, late 18.
Did many men go AWL?
Did many men go AWL?
Yeah.
Not in France.
What about in England? When they were on leave?
Well, no, in a camp after the when peace was declared. I got 4 days leave. And when I come back, I was over there. They said, you've missed the boat. They had me booked on a boat to go back. Of course, I didn't know. I said, well, I said, if I missed the boat, that's your fault. You should have warned me when I got there. But I booked down on a boat. But you didn't. Oh, all right. Put me on, what do you call it? When you chase the bugle. Where to chase the bugle, have you? See, the night even, the last minute, if you go, oh, defaulter. See, you get the defaulter charge.
Yeah.
And it means that every time a bugle blows, you've got to rush up to the headquarters. See if they've got a job for you. You can be a default as long as you like, so long as you answer the call. That was it. So long as you answer the call. I answered quite a lot of times. And I said to one, he said, how did you come to miss it? I said, because I wasn't warned. See, if I was put on the boat, I'd have come back on the yard. You go up into the back. But she'd still be receiving her money. And that, well, of course, that's years ago.
How many days overdue were you?
How
many days overdue were you when you got back?
I went 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But the first leave, it was 10 days, you see. Then they ordered it to 14. But well, I got 10 days. And I went to a doctor. And he happened to be a Frenchie. And I said to him, look, I said, I've got some friends I want to see, I said, and I don't want to go back without seeing them. All right, he said, he wrote out the certificate. And I said, Debbie, what a neighbourhood of trouble for 7 days. Oh, he said, you from France? I said, yeah. I said, I'm from the front line. He said, what town? He said, any town you can mention us, yes. What about Amiens? Oh, yes, Amiens, yeah. He knew all the towns. And that was a dirty place, was it? There was a toilet. It was a police barracks. And there was a long floor, and all round of it. No seats. You just sat down and did what you wanted, then dropped through the hole. Well, I said, that's about the dirtiest thing I've seen. Even in Egypt, they just had pits and a thing for you to sit on. And some made out of it, like troughs. And it dropped in the trough and goes down. And you pull the same, the water washes it. And some of them would like a big sheet of paper when they were sitting there. And that's... And see the light of paper going on. That was just what. Oh, that's some funny thing.
So this French doctor gave you an extra...
Huh?
This French doctor in London gave you an extra 7 days, did he?
Oh, he was... I think I just did the 7 days and the policeman pulled me out. Somebody must have put him onto me. He said, I'm taking you to the station. I said, that's okay with me. He said, I've got a certificate here, I said, to prove that I'm... Oh, he said, give me my most sickness. I said, I didn't give anything for it. So he said, promise you go back and I'll let you go. All right, so I'll go back tomorrow. And I went to Oxford Road. So the bloke went past over the counter and he pointed to the door. Where to go, the doctor was in there. He looked at me passing. Well, he said, I didn't know whether to send you back under escort, he said, try you here, and I said, there's no need to do anything like that, I'll go back, quite quick. Oh, yes, of course you will, he said. But he said, this thing, he said, fancy a certificate like that, he said, unfit to travel for so many days. He said, you could be blind drunk. Well, she didn't argue. But he kept me there. The day was being wasted, you see. And then he said, all right, he said, I'll let you go. He said, but be back here 7 o'clock in the morning to get the train. Oh, I was there quick and lively the next morning. What goes about it? And that's where I was. I'll tell you something. A sergeant in my platoon, he said to me, he said, well, he said, he said, I think you're a juvenile. I said, what makes you think that? He said, every mate that cottons onto you gets killed. Oh, I said, that's bad, isn't it? But I said, Sergeant, do you remember the last mate I had, Monty? Just me and him on a post? I said, you come and took a wide beer. Monty got killed, didn't he? I said, why didn't you send me? I don't know, it's just... you wouldn't have got killed. But anyhow, I said, that's a dirty thing to say. And I said, I'll admit, I said, one thing, One thing, I got a feather in my hat. They were never with me when they got killed. They were all always. Yeah, but it is funny, isn't it? Everyone gets it. Wasn't funny at all. My time had come. But here it come. Passing down nearly, hadn't he? Been around here a bit, in that temple, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Been goodbye.
How were the hospitals when after being wounded?
Oh, they were nice. Oh, very nice. I got in the hospital at, we've gone about 2 miles. That was the funny part about the war, the finish, you know. Fock, General Fock, Frenchman. He said, instead of going 1,000 yards, go as far as you can. Well, that and all of things. So we went about two miles passing down. All that way to get back. But I go back all right. Yeah, that was funny, that fog.
Made a big difference.
That road, that was a diff. Look, part of the years, just a few hundred years. Losing all the wind. Walked out, and even the artillery blokes were lined up to see how many of us come out. Just a few. Then we went right back and picked up the importance. Oh, that was a cruel one. And just further on was Picardy. The Rose of Picardy.
Yeah.
Or Picardy, whatever they call it.
You were talking about the hospitals that you were in. You were talking about the hospitals that you were in.
Well, I came from, when I got in, and I had to walk to as far as I could get. Poplins, I think, were clear station, and we had a wait there, and a train down there. And we got in the train. Because I guess my eyes were all right. When I met them all to go down. Train stopped, me had to get out, but my eyes were, look at that swollen, closed up. So I managed to get to the door, and of course the bloke took me on his back and put me in the ambulance. And he's out, and I think it was Tommy Hospital. Bungie them nice. He was a beauty. Nurse used to come just me in the morning. She said, there's one thing. She said, Ozzy. I'll never forget it. One thing, Ozzy, she said, it won't spoil your looks. Then we went from there to Dartford. Convalescent. And since we landed there, there was no MC man, he had so many tickets for an evening or night in London, to theatre and dinner. But before you got the tickets, you had to do some work. Now that was dirty. It was his work he had to do.
What sort of work?
Clean the wards. Clean the wards. You don't come a lesson, you don't work at all. Have any of our stuff to have on this night out? I think it's Chinese Chu Ching Chiao. That was good. And of course we're in blue boats. And coming back I lost my ticket. And I said to the local girls, I lost my ticket. And of course he had to take me out somewhere to get one. So I got this one, of course they're going to charge the railway, came back for another ticket. Eh? But do you know where it was? Behind a wooden matchbox. I found the next day to that, yes. But that's a good night, yeah.
Did you have any other nights out like that?
There was a silly part of bounty in there. Instead of me waiting, I said, I'll take my leave. Only one day in Convolution came, I took my leave. I shouldn't have done it.
You earned up to it.
So I took it. You can always see the thing you did wrong.
What happened then?
What happened then? I suppose I was class A class. And I think myself that eye was damaged, you see. And the eye itself, see, even years later, I went on repat for a pension. Pension for this, so of course the doctor really wasn't very civil about it. And of course he wanted to know, he said, this and that, what was it hit me? What it struck me? What it, I said, yeah, wasn't struck by it. It was ATR, what they call a whiz bang. Give me a note, and I got this crap. Of course, he would have said, what's a whiz bang? He wouldn't know.
Do you remember much about the voyage over? Did you stop at Colombo?
What?
Did you stop at Colombo on the way over?
No.
Just went straight to Egypt.
Straight to Egypt, yeah, from Anatolia. And I often wondered, when we went from Alexandria to Marseilles, who was our escort? Some said the Japanese were the escort. Well, I think that could have been, because we were friends with Japanese, weren't we? And they like Australia, don't they?
Do you remember what the feeling was like going over on the boat? Were you excited, or...?
You mean from where?
From Australia to Egypt.
Was it what?
Were you excited about...
Oh, no, no.
Going over, or...?
No. Just ordinary trip. Do you know that boat, the Thermosopolis, had come out here to Australia?
Did you?
Oh. With a wife and children.
Oh, afterwards.
You're 21.
Yeah, right. It's a bit different to when you went over.
Pardon?
it would have been a bit different to going over on it.
Yes, and we had a bit of a havoc.
What would have happened if you'd got the boat back when you were supposed to in 1919?
I don't know. I don't know how they... whether they had boats or panic or what.
But, I mean, would you... Your wife would have stayed in
England? She stayed here, yeah.
And followed you out, or...?
I might have left her there. Got another one here. No, I think if I'd have come back, I'd have gone for a pension straight away.
Gone for a...
Gone for a pension.
Pension, right.
When I see what someone would go for a pension, now... Yeah. I mean, they're not caused by the war. It just comes on you, doesn't it? Illness.
Okay, well...